The good news. What kind of good news? You know, when I first learned about the gospel, I was like, what's the gospel? And somebody told me, oh, that's the good news. I was like, what is the good news? There's so many good news, but what are they? You know, that God loves you. Oh, okay. Amen. The gospel is the good news that all can be saved. And that we all can be saved from the power of sin. Believe it or not, sin may feel at times harmless, but it's got such a nasty power. Amen. And in due time, it will manifest. And that's what the good news, the gospel, is to save us from the power of sin. Amen. Believe it or not, sin has the power to separate you and anybody from Jesus, from God. Sin has the power to drag you to a place of eternal condemnation. Amen. That's what sin does. Sin is very nasty. I'm not teaching about sin today, but about the gospel. Amen. The Bible that says that nothing sinful can enter the kingdom of heaven. And that is true. So the gospel, what is the gospel? The good news that, has anybody ever sinned in this place? I know I'm doing a Bible study and I'm trying my hardest to keep it that way. I'm imagining you as a person next in front of me as we're talking. You know, have you ever sinned? Have you ever lied? Have you ever? I have. And according to the scripture showed me when I saw it, where sin leads to. And I'm grateful for the gospel. Because I understand that I can be saved, that I'm saved through the gospel. Amen. Praise God. So we need a way to remove that sin that will separate you from God, that will drag you to eternal condemnation. And that is the good news. Amen. That Jesus came, gave his life, he shed his blood to clean away our sins. I like to read 1 Corinthians. I'm going to try to keep. What time? Usually 8 o'clock, Pastor Peter. ¿Dónde está Pastor Peter? My Spanish is. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you receive, in which you stand. The gospel ought to be preached, right? Next verse. Let's do next verse, please. And it says, by which also you are saved. See, the gospel is for us, for the humanity to be safe. If you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. Let's go to the next verse. For I delivered to you first of all of that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, praise the Lord, according to the scriptures. And that's part of the gospel, the good news, that Christ died for our sins. He took on my blame. He took on my mistake. Amen. That is so awesome. Have you ever, when I was little, somehow we threw rocks because we were not thinking, we were little. And my older brother took the blame. You know how relieving that felt? That I wasn't going to get in trouble? That's amazing. That's what God is doing. He's taking the blame. He's taking that mistakes that we did. So we don't get the punishment. Amen? Isn't that amazing? And that he was buried and then he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel. See, Jesus died for our sins. Even though he was buried, he rose again because he's the Almighty God. It's our Lord. Amen? Nothing in the world can clean away our sins. There's no great work that you can do that will remove the sins, your sins away. Absolutely nothing can wash away your sins. The only thing that can remove the sins is the blood of Christ. Amen? That's the only thing that has the power to remove any kind of sin. Whether you may be the worst of sinners, I may be the worst of sinners, The blood of Jesus can clean that away. And that is the good news. Because, you can do great works. You can do great things. And that's good and that's great. But nothing will clean away Nothing has the power to clean away those sins. Amen. So there is good news. There is a way to clean them out. There is a way to be saved of our sins. There is a way to be saved from eternal condemnation. Amen. Okay. Let's go to chart one. Praise the Lord. The Great Commission. When Jesus rose from the dead, he continued to preach for about 40 days. His disciples, men and women who saw him alive, who saw him with his wounds, we see Thomas at one time. And many witnesses saw him resurrected. Many people saw him alive after he came back from the tomb. Amen. Can you imagine seeing someone coming back from the dead? What would you think of that person? What would you think of that? It would certainly amaze me beyond amazing. You know, I don't know how to say it, but that's exactly what happened to them. That's exactly what they saw. Amen. Jesus came back from the dead. Right before Jesus ascended to the heavens, he gave his disciples very important instructions. He gave his disciples, his followers, instructions to follow and to obey, which is the Great Commission. Amen. What commission means? I'm sure most of us know what it means. Instructions, duties given to you to perform. Amen. Orders to perform. In this case, the commission was to preach the gospel. Why is it so important that God commanded it? Because he cares about souls. Amen. Because he cares about every single soul in basically in the entire world. Amen. Jesus commanded his disciples to preach the gospel to all the nations, to everybody, the whole world, every country, every nation, every tribe. That is the Great Commission. Amen. And we all called to do that, because I don't have access to the people that you do, because I don't know them. I'm not, and you don't have access to the people I know. You don't know Mamadou, my Muslim friend, who I'm talking to about Jesus, and he has millions of questions, which is good, you know. Or Emmanuel, but I do. So I'm called to preach the gospel. You are called to preach the gospel. Man, you don't necessarily have to have a speaker in the corner or maybe even from the pulpit, but with people that you know. Amen. This is why we need to learn the gospel. This is why we need to learn to share the good news through a Bible study. Amen. I'm teaching in Voices Unidas Dynamics on how to give Bible studies, what helps. One of the things is you always be on time when you meet with someone for Bible studies. Another thing is you preach your lesson, you don't talk about other denominations, you don't talk about politics. It's just distraction to the Word of God. And so on and on. Little things that help be focused, because the gospel needs to be preached and needs to be shared. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the gospel, the good news, the Bible says that we need to be saved. And at one point I didn't even know what I needed to be saved from. I was like, oh, Fabian, you need to be saved. You need to get baptized to be saved. It sounds good, but I didn't know from what. I'm like, saved from what? Sometimes we don't want to preach this particular point, but truly saved from hell. Amen. We're not condemning people. We're trying to save people. And saving from what? From hell. Eternal condemnation. It's serious. It's very serious. You know? That's what we need to be saved from. The Great Commission can only be accomplished by people like you and me, men and women, regular people. Don't think like the apostles were regular people. Peter was a fisherman. I'm assuming he stunk like fish probably 90% of the time. He was a regular person. Amen. But God can do great things with someone who's available to share the gospel. Amen. And this is how Jesus established it. He decided that his church, his people, his disciples should carry on the good news, the great news, the most amazing news, that we can be saved. Amen. Let us read on Luke 24, 45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. That's the gospel again, the message of the gospel. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, in the name of Jesus, to all nations. Say with me, all nations. Beginning at Jerusalem. God wants the gospel to be preached in every nation. Why? Because he loves people. He loves his creation. He wants what's best for them. He wants to save them, just like you and I were saved. Amen. Next verse. And you are witnesses of this. Next verse, please. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city and Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. See, the Lord commanded them to do a task. But when the Lord, when you are available unto God, he's going to empower you to do it. And he told them, hey, wait in Jerusalem until you endued with power from on high to do what it needs to be done. Amen. Because when we say, here I am, Lord, send me, you'll be amazed what the Lord can do and will he lead you. Amen. Let's go to Mark 16. This is a Bible study. I gave Sister on the overhead, like, I don't know, 40 scriptures. I'm like, it's Bible study. Okay, let's read the Bible then. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature means everybody. It's not talking about animals. It's talking about human beings. Okay? Everybody needs to hear the gospel. People around you need to hear the gospel. If everyone here will teach one person the good news, a good percentage of people would be saved. Amen. And so on and on. So we are called to preach the gospel. That is the gospel. That's what the Lord did. Go and preach the gospel to all the nations. Next verse, please. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Saved from what? I already told you. But he who does not believe will be condemned. People need to be saved. I am glad somebody invited me to church. I am glad somebody cared enough to say, hey, you know what? Come to my church. I am so glad somebody said that to me. I'm so glad somebody preached to me what this means. I am so glad. I am so grateful. Amen. I can see the love of God through that, and we can only just share it and continue to move forward. Matthew 28, let's jump to Matthew 28:18. I'm sorry, sister. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has given to me in heaven and on earth. You know, I'm not teaching a theology, but yeah, Jesus has all power in heaven and in earth because he's the one God. He has all the power. Amen. Next verse. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. See, God is interested in making disciples in every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we all know what that name is. That name is Jesus. Amen. This is why the apostles went and preached and baptized them in the name of Jesus. Because the Lord commanded it. Amen. Jesus entrusted such important tasks to regular people. And it's still true today. He wants his church to continue to teach and preach the gospel. Is anybody here willing to pick up? I know Pastor Peters is sharing with you that we all should pick up a Bible study. Or have somebody teach us a Bible study. or teach somebody a Bible study. We are called to do that. Jesus did not want the great blessing of being saved to just a few people. Amen? But everybody, nobody deserves it, but God wants to give it to everybody. This commandment is truly driven by love. It's truly love. Because you're saving somebody when you're preaching to them the gospel. Amen? If you know something's going to happen in this building, let's say Brother Johnny, I'm sorry, brother. There's a gas leak really, really strong right now, and he knows about it, and he doesn't tell us. Can you imagine that? That would make him a very evil person. You know, why wouldn't he tell us? Then this place blow up, and who knows? Well, that's exactly what the gospel is. We already know what's going to happen. We already know what's coming. We already know where people are leading. Why wouldn't we tell people? I'm going to offend them. I'd rather offend them than for them to not be safe. Amen? Which we really now offend them, but it's conviction what they're feeling. All right? Because we don't condemn people. We're just trying to show them the gospel, what saves them. Amen? The Bible keeps teaching us that the Bible keeps teaching us that the Lord, before he ascended, he gave that commission to his disciples. Amen? Let's go to next chart two. Oh, boy. Time flies. I'm only in chart two. How do you do it, Pastor Peter? How do you do it, congregation? Whew. Oh, my Lord. I need to speak faster. Should I do the video thing? Oh, yay. Okay. My problem is I always feel like I want people to grasp it. That's my problem, you know. Sixth dispensation. Grace. Oh, amazing grace. See, once you understand what grace is, man, nobody has to tell you to worship God. Nobody has to tell you to honor God. Pastor doesn't have to tell you, hey, let's honor God. Hey, behave. Hey, respect the Lord. Hey, praise the Lord. Once you understand what grace is, you can't help yourself but honor and worship God. Amen? Grace is, here we see where the church begins, the church now. In the Jewish days, the Pentecost day, the promise of the baptism of the Holy Ghost occurred. The apostles and disciples of Jesus were waiting for the promise of the Father. Remember, the Lord said, don't leave yet, wait for the promise of the Father. Amen. Let's go to Acts 2:1-4. The Bible says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. That promise is for everybody. The promise that it was for them, it was for everybody. Amen? It's still true today. Let's go to the next verse. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That is the promise of the Lord for every single one of us, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If you haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit, that is a promise from God to you. Okay? Next verse, please. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Maybe I'll stop right there. No, let's go to the next verse, please. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times, the seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. Let's go to the next verse. And it says, but you shall receive power. I was like, hey, don't talk about other things. I'm trying to tell you something very important. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, when you give a Bible study and you receive the promise of the Lord, amazing things will happen. You're going to be a witness of what God can do. Not only are you going to give a saving message, but, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but signs will follow you. As you're on that table, as you're in that coffee shop, talking to that person. You know, it's not testimony time, but things happen when you give a Bible study. people will open up, they will heal, they will tear, tears will come. And the power that is within you, it will follow. And things will happen. Amen. Many people, Okay, let's go to the next verse. Let's go to Acts 2:1-4. Did we do that already? Yes. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, when they were all with one accord in one place, next verse, and suddenly there came a sound of heaven as of rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set up on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is when that promise was fulfilled. This is grace. This is the power of God just coming up on people, regular people. I mean, I always tell the congregation when I preach, if there's a stronger spirit, let me know and I'll go follow it. But I know you're not going to find it, because there's no greater and stronger and more wonderful spirit than the Holy Spirit, our God. That's just pure grace that God poured out his spirit upon us. Amen. Many people heard the noise when they were speaking in tongues, and they came around and wondering what happened. There were religious people and just people, just common people. They were confused. They thought they were drunk. They thought they were crazy. But the apostle Peter and the 11, they said, hey, we're not drunk. This is the promise fulfilled. This is what the Lord said he would do. He said that he will baptize his people with his spirit. This is the promise. This is the prophecy about the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Joel, it says that, and it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. His very own spirit upon us. Who am I to deserve that? Who are you to deserve that, my brother? God can live upon your life. Everything about God can follow you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that grace? Let's jump to Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who's coming after me, which is Jesus, is mightier than I, whose sandal I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. See, it's God who baptizes people. When I first started ministering, I felt such pressure when I pray for people. I was like, oh, how they're going to receive the Holy Ghost. It's Jesus who does it. It is not us. Get out of the picture. Just be a worker and have faith and let the Lord do what he's going to do. Amen. God can fill you even tonight if you're open to the Lord. I believe God can. Amen. Jesus is the one that the Jewish people crucified. And he's the very one that pours out his spirit upon all people. Amen. That's what Peter told them when they asked, what's going on here? Well, this is the spirit of the Lord. You know, the one you crucified, he's the one who's doing this mighty thing. Like the one that we crucified? Yes. Oh, Lord, what did we do? He was the Messiah. He is the Lord. Amen. Some of them felt conviction into their heart, and they really felt bad about what they did. They had just killed the Messiah. Amen. And the Bible says that they asked, what should we do? Let's jump to Acts 2:38, sister. I'm trying to go a little faster. Because the clock, for some reason today, is going faster. I don't know why. Wow. It barely moves when I'm at work. Jeez. You know, is it break time yet? Then Peter said unto them, repent and let every one of you, every single one, because God cares about every single one, whether it be this tall, this age, that age. I repent every one of you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and the name of that there is power for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the gospel. He had just preached the gospel. And they felt bad that They're the ones that killed Jesus. But then Peter said, repent. That's grace. It's so easy. It's so free. It's so simple. Just repent. Amen. Be baptized in the name of Jesus for remission of sins. So simple. Amen. It's just like going to the pool, but in this case, with faith. It's so simple. Amen. Somehow Satan has put in people's minds people believe that it's a great step and they're so hesitant to do it. All you got to do is obey and believe. That is grace. It's so simple. Amen. Let's go to Acts 2:41. And this is what God is calling us to do. Only God, who knows what could happen if we can become bold enough to start sharing the gospel. Then those who gladly received the word were baptized. Some people will gladly receive the word when you give them a Bible study. Some may not, but some will. Amen. And those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Not people, but souls, which is the same thing. But that's because God cares about the souls. He cares about your soul, my soul, everybody's soul. Amen. The church had just begun in that day, and it still stands today. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. His very spirit can live inside of you. Isn't that amazing, hermanos? Hermanos y hermanas. That is grace, and it's free. Who wants it? It's free and it's grace. Amen. You're going to have to call me. You're going to have to have me back again, brother. I'm only going in chart 3. Wow. Is this okay or am I boring you? Okay. All right. A15? I heard something like 9:15, you said? I have hearing problems. No, thank you, Pastor. Thank you very much. Chart 3, believe in the gospel. Man, believing and repenting is very important. We have to believe. It all has to do with faith. Amen. Mark 16 says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Just go and do it. Share the good news with them. I mean, we're not that evil, are we? When you see people and you're like, I'm safe. You know? We're not that mean, are we? Are we that evil? Maybe. I don't know. The Bible says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Next verse. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved. It's simple. We gotta instill that faith in people. My friend, it's very simple. Just believe it. Believe what the word says. Just obey it. It's so simple. And God will do what's impossible. Amen. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. John 3:18 says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. People need to know the gospel. People need to know who is going to save them. People need to know. Amen. I know I'm kind of preaching to you a little bit, even though I'm supposed to be teaching you, but I think most of us here know the gospel, right? Amen. Let's go to Luke 24:47. So before we go there, we need to believe. We gotta lead people to believe. This is what the Word of God says. This is what happens when you baptize. This is why you need to be baptized. We all sinners. The Bible says the wages of sin is dead. The Bible says that nothing sinful can enter into heaven. The Bible says, and then the Lord came, gave his life for your sins. Do you believe that? Do you want to believe that? Don't you want that promise? We need to share that faith so they can believe. Amen. Is there anybody here maybe hasn't taken that step? Believe it. Believe in the Lord and take that step of obedience. Amen. And let God do the miracle of giving you a new life and cleaning away every sin. It's so simple. He'll clean it in a blink of an eye. By the time you come out of that water, you're going to be as pure, as white as snow. Let God do it. Just let him do it. Amen. Repent. Luke 24:47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. We got to teach. We got to give those Bible studies and lead people to repentance. Preach repentance. That is the gospel. Preach repentance. Amen. Repentance is a decision you make when you decide that you no longer want to do the thing that are sinful. Amen. I know there was a lesson back then somewhere about repentance. Repentance is not a feeling. Repentance is a decision. Amen. Repentance is a change of mind, change of course, change of direction. I see it this way. Repentance is like turning the wheel around, do a U-turn. Amen. Stop and change directions. That changed my life. That's how I understood repentance. Maybe you don't, but it helped me. It's like you're going in a certain direction. When you repent, you stop. You stop doing what you're doing. Stop going where you're going. Stop going that direction. Stop, do a U-turn, and go the opposite way. That is repentance. Repentance is a decision that you make. You can make a decision tonight to repent of whatever it is you need to repent. Whatever it is, you need to stop. And I'm becoming preachy now. Young people, I know how these days are. You need to stop that. Do a U-turn. Man, old people, elder people, young people, adult people. Stop. Do a U-turn. Repent. Amen. I'm talking to myself too, okay? Turn away from that action that leads to death and sin. Admit that you're doing this sinful act. Acknowledge it and confess it. Amen. It's very liberating when you confess it. It's like chains are broken. Amen. This is why when a criminal goes to jail and they, when they confess, a lot of them, they just break crying. It's so relieving to confess what you've done. It brings liberty. How much more would your spirit when you confess to the Lord, I've done this wrong thing, God. I'm sorry. Amen. First John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's so simple. It's so simple. It's a decision that you make. And no one can make it for you. You can make that decision. So simple. Confess your sins. Stop. Turn around. Go the other direction. God is so faithful and so just. He will forgive you. He will forgive you. His word says it. You know, it's right there. And if he says he's going to do it, that means he's going to do it. Aren't you excited for that? It makes me excited. Amen? But I don't feel anything. He will do it because he said he will do it. Amen. By confessing, you are making yourself responsible for your actions when you confess it to God. Amen. Don't hide it. Don't keep it in your heart. Amen. It's going to continue to create pain, shame, and everything that comes with negativeness. Okay. Chart 4, sign of new covenant. What is that? That's water baptism. Sign of the new covenant. In the Old Testament, the sign for the people of God, it was circumcision. That was the sign. Once they performed that circumcision, that was a sign of we have a pact. We have a covenant. You are of my people. The sign of covenant for us that we are his people, that we are his children, our sign today is water baptism. That is the new covenant sign. That is the agreement, the deal, the pact that we do with the Lord. That's how we are identified. We are signed in per se. Amen. When you're baptized in the name of Jesus, you receive his name. That is our sign of the new covenant. Obedience to this new covenant will lead you to salvation, because then you will become part of the family of God, part of the church of God. Remember, like in Acts we read, it said, and in that day, 3,000 people were added to them. When you gladly receive that word, my friend, you will be added to that group. And when Jesus comes back for his church and you're part of that group, you'll be taken into glory with the Lord. Amen. And that's what it's all about. In the Old Testament time, circumcision was the sign of the covenant, the agreement, the pact. It was a sign of belonging to God. Every male had to have it done in order to be counted as one of the people of God. I'm glad that's not. See, it's grace. I'm glad we have to go like that no more. I'm glad it's just getting baptized and faith. God will do the great work. Our covenant today is water baptism. We become part of, I already read that. That is why baptism is very important. We enter into a new pact with God. We repent. We surrender ourselves to him. He washes away our sins. And we get a new identity. Amen. We are of God. We identify as a child of God through baptism. That is our covenant. When I was younger, I had issues with identity. Not like trans or anything like that. But I have to make that clear. But like, who am I? What is my purpose in this earth? You know, like, I want to be this. I wanted to be so many things in the world that are sinful. And I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I wanted to become. I had identity issues. I already explained what that means. But I'm glad somebody shared with me the gospel. I came to church, and that question was in my mind. Who am I? What is my purpose? Who do I belong to? What, you know? And I heard the word, that song that says, and that for me, that was a revelation. And the song says, I know who I am. I know who I am. I know who I am. And people were singing it. I know who I am. I am yours. I'm like, I want to be yours. And when I got baptized and I was filled with the Holy Ghost, oh, man, I sing that song. I know who I am now. I know who I am. I know who I belong to. I have an identity. I have a pact. I have a covenant with the Lord. I was baptized, and I know who I am now. And once you know who you are, you find a purpose in your life, and you will thrive. Amen. And that's what this does to you. That's a sign of the new covenant. If you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus, talk to this man. He will baptize you in the blink of an eye. Amen. Don't wait no more. That is grace. Amen. You'll never know what comes tomorrow. Okay. Chart number 5. Okay. Anybody sleepy here? Say, wake up. Whew. Man, this is, I knew I was going to hold myself back, because these are very good messages. These are preaching messages. You know, this is the type of message that will lead somebody to get baptized, and a message that will lead someone to receive the Holy Ghost right on the spot. Amen. So, chart number 5, the covenant name. Getting baptized is our sign that we have become a member of the family of God. At baptism, we get baptized in the name of Jesus, and we receive his name. That is the name of the covenant, because he is our Lord. He is the one that died for us. Repentance should be preached in his name. He is the one that has all authority in heaven and in earth, according to the scriptures. Amen. Matthew 28, let's go to Matthew 28. And it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has given to me in heaven and in earth. We have the name that has all the authority. Whatever goes on out there, whatever goes on down here, we have the name. That is the name of our covenant. Amen. This is why when we read in Matthew, well, let's go again, 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the name, in that name that has all authority up there and all authority here on earth. In the name that fulfills it all. That name is Jesus. And this is why the apostles and all the disciples that follow Jesus baptized in the name of Jesus, because that is the name of the covenant. If somebody asks you, what is the name of your God? What are you going to say? God. Well, a Muslim will tell you that. A Buddhist will tell you that. A Satanist will tell you that. They have a God. But what is the name of your God? The Son? You know? This is why the name, the covenant name is Jesus. What is the name of your God? What is the name of your Lord? Jesus. Amen. What is that name? Jesus. The apostles knew that that was the name. They were not confused about the name. Not one little iota. They were not confused at all. They were confident of what the name was. That's why they confidently baptized in the name of Jesus, because that's the covenant name. John 5:43, it says, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. See, I come in my Father's name. What was his name? Jesus. He's identifying that name. Amen. Matthew 1, I'm going to jump, sister, to Acts 2:38 again. And I'm going to, this is why the apostles gave this gospel message and gave this saving message. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because that's the covenant name. That's the power name. That's where the authority lays. Amen. They were not confused about no names or anything. They knew exactly what the name was. And today, you can have that new covenant, new pact with the Lord through baptism, receiving his name. Amen. Acts 8:16, it says, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, the apostles were baptizing everybody in the name of Jesus. And this verse says that, but also the verse says that they were still needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They were not filled with the Holy Ghost yet, but they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were not confused about the name. They knew exactly what the name covenant was. Acts 10:48, it says, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. He didn't give him an option. He says, this is how it's got to be done. Because there's no other name that can save under heaven given unto men but the name of Jesus. Amen. That is the name of the covenant. That is the name that will save us. Acts 19:5, once again, it says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When they heard the gospel, this is Paul, man. Before it was Peter. When these people were, they heard the gospel, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, let's go to chart 6. I'm going to fly through those. Okay. The Holy Spirit is given to believers. It's given to those who believe. Amen. If you don't believe that you are worthy of receiving we're not worthy of receiving the Holy Ghost because it's by grace. But if you don't believe what the Scripture says, that the Holy Ghost is for you, you most likely will not receive it because everything is done by faith. So we need to believe. Amen. The signs will follow to those who believe. Mark 16:17, it says, let's go to Mark 16:17, sister. I'm just going to fly through this. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. Amen. We must believe. Amen. It all comes down to believing. Amen. John 7, let's go to John 7, 38, 39. Says, he that believe on me, as the scripture has said, not as the Pope has said, not as some religious movement has said, but the Bible says, he that believe on me, as the scripture has said, as the scripture says, we need to believe. Amen. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What does that mean? Rivers of living water. Verse 39, it says, John 7, 39, but these spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because the Jesus was not yet glorified. That's what he was talking about. Those who believe, they will receive the promise of the Father, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and out of your bellies it will flow to those who believe. Amen. We must believe. Acts 2:38, once again, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When you believe, that will happen. And it's for you, it's for me, it's for everyone. Amen. Luke 11:13, it says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those, to them who ask of him? See, God is so good. It's a lot simpler than sometimes we believe, we think. We need to believe. We need to have a desire for it. Amen? There's a young lady once, and she told me, Pastor, I want to get the Holy Ghost. And I said, you want to? She's like, yeah, I really want to get the Holy Ghost. And I told her, I said, you will get it. Like, how do you know? I said, because the Bible says that if you believe and if you ask for it and if you want it, you will get it. So I confirmed that, not because of me, but because of what his word says. Man, we trust his word, man, because he doesn't lie. What he says he's going to do, he will do. And I told her, you will get it. 2 weeks later, she was speaking in tongues. By the way, that's the next, because that's one of the signs according to scripture. Amen. And it was amazing, you know. But we need to rely on scripture, as the scripture says. The purpose of the Holy Ghost, and I'm finishing, well, I think. Ay, ay, ay. This is the fastest I ever preach. I take my time. Should come to voices. Oh, maybe you've been there. Like, Pastor, vámonos. Okay, chart 7. The purpose of the Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Spirit? It's God. God is the Spirit, according to John 4:24. His Spirit. He is holy, and his Spirit. He is the Holy Ghost. He is the Holy Spirit. Amen. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive what God is within you. Amen. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive, wow. I'm just going to list it because we need a whole session for that. You receive the Comforter. You receive comfort. Amen. This is why it's important to be filled with Holy Spirit. It will help you in any area in your life. You know, when you go through those hardships, he will give you that comfort that no human beings can give you, that no girlfriend, no wife, no husband, no children, no. There's places that no one can comfort, but only the Lord. Amen. He'll give you comfort. Not only that, but it's kind of a seal of ownership. We belong to the Lord, you know. We become one with God. Isn't that amazing? When he comes and fills us up and he baptizes us, we become one with him. We no longer, that's what the Bible says, I no longer live, but Christ in me. He lives in me. This is why he says, greater is he that is in me than the one that's in the world. What? Is it anything greater, stronger than our God? No. Amen. Not only that, but you know, the Holy Spirit will bring you peace, will bring you rest, will bring you joy. Amen. The Holy Spirit will help you pray, will intercede through you. The Holy Spirit will give you power to witness Remember, you shall be witnesses. These signs will follow to those who believe. Signs will follow you. Amen. The other day, some little girl, she got a two times already happening. Somebody here have problems with sleeping. I'm not saying I do it, but somebody says, if you pray for a particular thing and God answers, that means he's working through you in that particular area. She had a problem sleeping, and we prayed for her. Believe it or not, within 10 minutes, she was like, I want to go to bed, Mom. I was like, she had problems sleeping. She hasn't been able to sleep. I was like, Pastor, she's been sleeping like a baby ever since. But that's him. That's what I'm saying. That's what he does, brothers and sisters. Amen? You don't have to follow signs. They will follow you. Amen? When we believe, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will teach you, will guide you, will show you things that, you know, he will make you aware of things. Amen? You know, more than intuition and more than a hunch feeling, it's deeper than that. He will show you things to come. He will so amazing. He gives you power over the enemy. You know, the Bible says you believe God is one. So the devils, and they tremble when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what they see. They see God. Amen. He gives you power. He gives you the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. We will be. This is what amazes me the most, and this is for me the best benefit. The Bible says that we will be raised from the dead by the same Spirit, if the Spirit dwells in us. Amen. That's what's going to raise us to life, the Spirit that lives within us. The minute you pass away, in that same second, God will raise you up to glory by the power of His Spirit, if He dwells in you. We need the Holy Spirit. And it's free, and it's easy, and it takes, just believe it, the Holy Spirit is necessary to overcome. We need the Holy Spirit. Amen. How do I know I have the Holy Spirit? The first evidence of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. How do I know I have been baptized with the Holy Ghost? Many people have said, Pastor, I was baptized with the Holy Ghost. I go, okay. But how do we know? I mean, how do I can confirm somebody that they were actually baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit? We see it on the scriptures in the beginning of the church with the apostles, that when someone was baptized and filled with this awesome gift of the Holy Spirit, it was known by the supernatural phenomenon of speaking in tongues. Amen. That's not something we do. That's something God does. Amen. Just like we read in Mark, these signs will follow those who believe. They will speak in tongues. Amen. That's something the Lord does. And just like we saw in Acts 2:4, the Bible says, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. And same with when people were wondering, what is these people doing? Why they're talking all weird? What's going on with them? Peter confirmed it. He's like, what you're seeing and you're hearing, that is the promise of the Father. That is the Holy Ghost. Amen. What you're seeing is the Holy Ghost. That's the promise that we read in the book of Joel, and that is the promise that the Lord Jesus has told us about. That's what it is. He confirmed it. The apostles confirmed it. Amen. Acts 2:33 says, therefore, being by the right hand of God, and God exalted, and having received the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed this for this which ye now see and hear. That's how they knew. Amen. Acts 10:44, it says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as come with Peter, because that on the Galilees, Gentiles, also was poured out the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. And how did they know? Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered. That's how they knew. That's how they knew they were filled with the Holy Ghost, because they heard them speak in tongues. Amen. That's the sign they used. The apostles used it. Amen. So many people have told me, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to say, no, they haven't, but I can't confirm it because I don't have. But when I see the sign, then I can confirm. And I said, yes, what you see and hear. Amen. And that's something the Lord does. That's not no human being does it. No man does it. Amen. Praise God. And then 47, it says, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? They spoke in tongues. We spoke in tongues. They were linking the sign to confirm it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, 15 minutes are up. And I owe you chapter 9. But I'll ask you this. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? I'll ask you another question. Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus? He died for your sins. It doesn't matter how dark and deep it is that you're doing or we're doing. God can wash that away in a blink of an eye. Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus? Have you received that wonderful power, almighty power? Do you desire it? Do you want it? That is the first step. Amen. If you desire it and you believe it, and if you repent and you surrender yourself to God, then the Lord is going to start moving in you, because that's his promise. And if you do that, he's going to start moving in you. And when you least expect it, he's going to do what he can do. Amen. And with this, I finish. I told Pastor Peter, I asked him permission to, we can finish with praying. That's okay. So I know this is a Bible study. I preached a little, but I felt guided by the Lord. Someone in this place needs to hear this, and someone in this place needs to share it with somebody. Souls are so precious. Amen. Let us pray. If this has done something to you, believe it, obey it, and receive the promise that God has for you. Amen. Let us, if we can stand and pray together. That's okay. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you, Jesus, for your grace, for your love. Thank you, Lord God, for reminding us how great, how amazing you are to us. For everything you've done, Lord God, and everything that's at our disposal, Lord God. This saving grace, Lord God. I ask you, Lord God, that you anoint everyone here, Lord God, as Pastor Peter is leading them and instructing them, Lord God, and that souls will be saved through those Bible studies, Lord God, sharing the gospel and sharing the power, Lord God, that you are going to endure in them, Lord God. Heavenly Father, I thank you on this night. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you, and thank you for being so gracious to me. Amen. Thank you, thank you.